Hey, all you freaks and geeks, all you ghosts and ghouls, it's your unfriendly neighborhood homicidal maniac, Raven Homicide here, and we're here with First Jason Ari Lehman.
That's right. That's right. Here at Treasure Coast Freak Show in Fort Pierce, Florida. I'm so happy to be here with my good friends. This is indeed Ari Lehman, the first Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. That's a spectacular microphone.
Thank you.
That's like one of those real, the ones they use for blues. Man, that's the blues harmonica microphone. That's the one. What is that called again?
It's a super, I think, 55? Shore 55, yeah. You got a flute.
Blues flute sounds through there, man.
I think it sounds good.
That was just awesome.
We also got Justin McPatches from Underground Horror Radio as well here this weekend. And now, some of you are like, Ari Lehman, we know that name. Of course you do. We talk about it on the show. And 3 years ago, for Not For Air Underground Radio, we got an interview with you in video up in Buffalo a couple years ago. That's right, yes.
Fantastic. Wasn't that in front of the bagel place or the donut place or something? I remember that. But that club, it's a lot of fun there, Broadway Joe's. We were just in that neck of the woods again. We were doing Niagara Falls Comic Con, and who was there? We had the great Ted White was there, and Tom Savini, and a lot of other great characters. And then we played in Buffalo, and then we went to Niagara Falls to do the event, and then we went back to Buffalo to perform. So it was a lot of fun, yeah.
That sounds pretty awesome. And First Jason's always on tour, it seems like. You said earlier you're recording in the studio again, so that's going to be awesome. So we got more First Jason.
Cannot wait for that.
Yeah, more First Jason on the way.
Yeah, that's got to be the most wonderful thing when you've been working together with the band. And I did have some time during this very cold winter in Chicago to write a whole bunch of new songs. We got some new songs like When the Clock Strikes 13.
Nice.
And Witch Camp and Better Crazy Than Lazy, and we got a bunch of new ones. To Be a Monster, so we're really happy about these new titles, and that just having the opportunity to kind of make a more mature kind of statement. I'd say we've found our sound. Of course, that's largely due to the fantastic participation of Eddie Machete on guitar and bass amp on the drums, as you two witnessed last night. I think you can attest
awesome
to the fact.
Damn show last night. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Thank you so much. And that was so much fun. And see, in this case, here we are at an event. And, you know, maybe, you know what, they could have had more people here, you know. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But I have to commend the people who put together Treasure Coast Freak Show. It's been a wonderful time, a fun time. All upbeat, no, you know, any kind of down energy. But you know what? They said, why don't we have a band if we only have to kick in a little bit more? Because First Jason is very reasonable, and we pack in the entertainment value, I'll tell you. But you know, it made it so that kind of brought everybody together. And to me, oh wow! I mean, that just makes me feel so wonderful and honored and humbled. You know, when people look back on this event, and I'm sure that there'll be future events, there'll be another Treasure Coast, there'll be a bigger one, there'll be bigger ones, and it'll just keep going, and it'll just grow. But we'll look back on this one and say, you know what? Man, I remember that wonderful show and how much fun everybody had together just listening to music and eating and drinking, and wow, that's just a good time.
With First Jason, which, by the way, you can see First Jason, I believe, on YouTube. Wasn't it Bride of Jason, a video that was on there a while ago? Yes.
Thank you so much. Jason's Bride.
Jason's Bride.
In which Jason, as portrayed by Jeff Wickedbeard Cochran, one of the best.
Great looking Jason.
Yeah, he's a great cosplayer. And Jason meets a female Jason who actually has kissy lips on her mask, and they kind of fall in love inevitably, you know. He has a crush on her because she's such a good slasher, and he's just blown away. So, you know, they kill everyone at their wedding party. It's great.
Before Game of Thrones did.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Did they get that idea from me?
They might have. Well, there is the books, but yeah, they might have.
The Abused and Abuser comic was really good, where a girl that was abused by her boyfriend lures him to Crystal Lake because she's in love with Jason, and he has Jason kill the boyfriend, and then she's like, oh, we're going to be happy together.
Jason kills her.
And Jason kills her.
That's just Jason's like whole motif there. Let me ask you something, Larry. Ari, you were in, I know, I was leering. Ari, right? You first Jason, 1980, changed the way, Halloween was the first kind of slasher, but you guys changed the way of things. And it was, you know, after that, because Jason became the... First one was Mrs. Voorhees. You popped out. Now Jason's the star. That's it. Jason's from now on. We don't want Roy. We want Jason. We don't want anybody else. We don't want body jumping. We want Jason. So that being, let's see, I'll be 34. I was in 82. Was that 36 years now? 36 years ago.
Same age as me. 1980.
Yeah. 36 years later, does it blow your mind now that, you know, they made, what, 12 of them now? The reboot was the 12th one. They made 12 of these movies. I know in the 80s it was like one every fucking year almost through Paramount, and then they went to New Line. Does it still blow your mind? You're like, holy hell, this figure and Freddy, but this thing is still like people love Jason and nostalgia factor.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Speaking to that, I think that, okay, every time that there's a new Friday the 13th, Jason kind of reflects the feeling of the time, if you will. You know, when people are into science fiction, Jason went to outer space. When people were into, the psychic and the paranormal, sure. Then you had part 7 with Psychic Tina. You know, it was like Charmed or something meets
X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men. Yeah, paranormal. Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, and no, that's totally true. And I think so maybe, you know, we do know that there's going to be a new Friday the 13th TV series on the CW. And we do know there's...
I have hope for it. I seriously do.
Oh, that's definitely happening. And we know that there's going to be a Friday the 13th Paramount Pictures feature film. Okay? And so, again, Jason has to reflect the time. So what's Jason going to be doing? I don't know. Maybe
selfies.
No, maybe the well, yeah, or maybe the victim will get a text message from Jason. It says look behind you. You know, whack. You know.
Actually, I would like to see that. Let me ask you. Okay, so obviously the first one, that's probably your favorite because there you are. Well, what do you think now? And it's 2016. It's 36 years later. People are still into it. Now you have these video games and stuff.
I want to add that. In essence, why did that happen? You can attribute that to the dedication of the fans. There's something phenomenal about. Oh, I created a new word. Phenomenal about the devotion of these wonderful fans to this character. And I think that has to do with the nature of Jason and his mom and the fact that it's kind of a righteous vengeance gone horribly awry. It's not a scheming evil. It's not a predatory evil, really, either.
It's just a force.
Yeah, and it's also a territorial thing. Yes. I mean, you know, people say, oh, why does Jason kill people who are, you know, having sex? It's not that they're having sex. It's they're having sex on his lawn. So if you came, yeah, well, if you came home and someone's having sex on your lawn,
machete.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little different than, you know, people are having sex in general. So, you know, people are partying. Yeah, no, they're partying in your garage. It's like, wait, I don't know you. What are you doing there? So Jason feels that the forest is, you know, in essence, it's his mother. There's a nature image there. Of course, the lake. So there's a lot of great imagery to work with. And I think that the fans picked up on that and that they've reconstructed Jason in their own image, you know, and it was really that which the production houses that made the successive films responded to. Because if you look, I mean, it's got to be that because, look, they're not all written by the same writer.
No.
They're not all done by the same production team.
Director either.
So what? No, certainly not. So what they're doing is they're following the lead of the fans. Where the fans' imagination takes Jason is where Jason goes. And there's something so wonderful about that to me. because it evokes, if you will, an American mythos, a mythology.
That's American, New Jersey.
Yes, yes. But also mythology in its nature is an organic, almost like an algorithm, like kind of like Wikipedia. You know, as people add things to it, it grows and changes and it becomes a different entity. Yeah. So Jason certainly has become this a manifestation of the fans' imagination.
And that's awesome. And I was going to say, what do you think?
You know, I didn't see Friday the 13th until it was on one of the Saturday morning creature features. Back when Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoon at the creature features, those were the days. And I think I was like maybe 7 or 8. And, you know, it's just it appealed to me. And my mom, she let me read the cracked monster parties and this, that, and the other. And it's just, you know, it made me who I am today. Honestly, when I was a teenager, I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I didn't do all this shit. I was spending my money on things I love, like the comics and the, you know, the just everything. Friday the 13th. I mean, Elm Street had a big impact on me. Robert had a big impact on me. Kane Hodder had a huge impact on me. So it's just, it's embodied in us, and I feel like we should give back to the people we admire, the people who are idols to us, not just, you know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, we give to the franchise. Why do we have to give to this person? This person comes and they travel. They take their time out of their life, like Ari does, and gives back to the fan. I feel like we should give back to them like we do. That's why I created the Freddy versus Jasons, the Jason versus Freddy, the donkey.
You know what I saw that you made was that cool, it was like a manual, an instruction guide.
The Friday the 13th strategy guide, which they didn't make back then, and people hated the game because they didn't know what to do.
I was looking at that going, wait a minute. They didn't have this back then. I was trying to imagine, was it a little pamphlet? I like the way you did it. The layout is very nice. It looks authentic. And even the paper and the way it's printed, it's very neat and very done nicely. And I think that, I mean, I know this sounds like off topic, but what are you charging for those?
$25, because it honestly it cost me close to that to make.
And I was going to say, I know all about the type of printing that's done there, and that's got to be about at cost. So you're only asking a small percentage, and I think that's a really nice. Those looked really cool. Someone had me sign one, actually.
That's awesome. That's a win.
I charge him only half price. As I said, that's my buddies. I'm only charging half price. So if you do get one of these wonderful guides, please bring it by, and I will sign it for half price. There you go. You heard it. You heard it right here.
Ari Lehman. Hey, so real quick again, what is your, besides the course, you're in the first one, what's your favorite Friday?
Well, that is a dicey question because, you know, there's so many great ones. And, of course, I'm a fan of Part 4, which was supposed to be the big, you know.
Ending.
You know. But that said, you know, the first man to wear the hockey mask, Sir Richard Brooker, his body language was so unique that I enjoy watching him, too. But then ultimately, I guess, you know, CJ's great. But really, it was when the entrance of Kane Hodder in Part 7 with John Buechler undoubtedly reflects most accurately the legacy. You know, it most accurately reflects that legacy of all the different trials and tribulations that Jason Voorhees has gone through in the previous films.
The makeup,
yes, with the makeup, with the special effects, with the costume, with the weaponry, and the injuries. I think that they took their time to research, and that's really the only one, if you will, that tried to make up for the fact that it was all different production companies. So it gave it a continuation. Yeah. You know, it gave it, and so at least it respects the previous ones. And personally, I like the themology I'm way into like the occult and, you know, mysticism and psychic stuff. So I love that. And it reminded me of, you know, I guess it reminds you of, you know, because there's psychic Tina and the doctor too, which reminds you a little of like, you know, like Halloween or like, you know, those characters where, you know, usually Donald Pleasance would play that kind of a character.
I don't think Donald Pleasance would be doing it to make money off of Tina, like a thing like that. Pleasance would actually help her because he's Pleasance.
No, you're right. That's a good point. And I think that the actor who did it, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Oh, Carrie Kaiser. He was Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, I think he did a fantastic job. And, you know, obviously, because I like that film. Yes, I would say that. But then, you know, I can hang with the part 10 and, you know.
Did you dig with part 6, the one that,
sure,
how it was like, yeah, well, the.
It starts underwater, I like, and I like that scene with the Winnebago flaming and he comes out the top. No, there's some great triumphant moments there. And I love CJ's body language there. But I think many will agree, probably even CJ would agree, that 7 was a more, you know, more a work wherein there was more research put into it and more, you know, and it kind of kicked off, if you will, the successive ones after that with Kane Hodder as Jason, in a way kind of personifying Jason to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say that 7's also the one that got the most brutally cut by the MPAA as well. Yeah, they cut the shit out of that because they had so much extra gore. Yeah.
About that a little bit. I have heard him say that ultimately it wasn't the film that he originally intended, but I do think that it is. It's probably the shining example of
of what it could be
when everybody kind of puts their heads together. I think that John Buechler, his work. Probably would have been reflected in what was planned to be the new release, which was going to be directed by David Bruckner.
Oh, yeah.
And what was really nice about that, and I'm kind of disappointed that he's not going to be the director, is that David Bruckner sent me a message, you know, saying on Facebook, saying we intend to honor the legacy of the film that I had the honor to be in, and I thought that was a pretty decent thing from a Hollywood type director.
Yeah.
So maybe he could make a decent movie, as it were. And I'm definitely somebody who feels that there's room for all kinds of expansion, and Jason could do anything. I think, again, it needs to reflect the times. I was thinking frackers come to Camp Crystal Lake or something? I don't know. And then we did a video like that where we tried to reflect that called Heed My Warning. No. Again, I'm sorry. It was called Victim. First Jason Victim. That's the one with the army of zombies who kill the frackers and everybody else. But then we did another one called Heed My Warning, which was shot at a Victorian insane asylum in Peoria, Illinois, which is actually now being torn down. But it had been preserved, really cool place called Bartonville State Asylum. And so, yeah, if anybody wants to check out my own little fun riffs on the Jason theme that we knew would never become actual feature film elements, that's like, awesome. You know, Jason killing an army of zombies or Jason killing off an army of inmates and that kind of thing. Asylum. It was a lot of fun, and we always have fun with it. I think First Jason's music is always fun, and that we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And that's reflected in the videos. As much as I would have liked to do something really dark and horror, they always kind of came off with a bit of a comedy. They always, horror.
Yeah.
So I went with that. And you know what? Both times that we wanted to go real dark and gruesome, both times the special effects people had problem and were not able to meet us at the right time in the right place. And you know, with filming, it's got to get done. So we just went with it, and maybe in the future, okay, as I said, we're going in the studio next week. We're going to start recording in Chicago a new album called Better Crazy Than Lazy at Uptown Recording in Chicago, and we're really, really excited about that. And to be in the place where you've worked hard, you've put in the effort, everything has come together, the personnel is so good. You know, of course, everything isn't perfect, but we are definitely ready to record some new music and very excited about it.
First Jason's awesome.
Well, I know we're getting ready to wrap this up, but you mentioned the MPAA really cutting. Another thing we kind of talked about is who is Jason? What is Jason? And coming, it what I'm about to say kind of combines with the MPAA and who is Jason. Jason was originally supposed to have stabbed Tiffany Helms' Violet character up the vajayjay originally, and they cut that because they said Jason was the victim. He's not a villain. So, and he doesn't kill the children in that one cabin where he's just standing there above her. She closes her eyes, and all of a sudden she opens them back up. He's gone. He's not really a villain. He's more of a victim because, I mean, he saw his mother get her head chopped off, for Christ's sakes. You know,
I think that's what preserves the fans' loyalty, is that in the type of a myth wherein, you know, every superhero or supervillain has something about them which makes it so that their power is more interesting because it's not just perfect, absolute. Superman and Kryptonite, for instance, you know, of course, being the obvious example. But so Jason, you could say it's emotions, you know, his feelings. He has feelings.
Yeah.
He's not a so many of the killers that we encounter in all of these things. That's what makes them so, you know, whether it's a horror or a slasher or gore, that's what makes it so diabolical, is that they have no feelings.
Yeah.
But here we have a killer who has feelings, but let's say he's not very intelligent and he's not capable to comprehend. So he can't comprehend. So I think if we were to draw a reference, we could draw a reference to either Frankenstein and Frankenstein's Bride.
Yes.
You remember where he's all confused. He's having emotions. He's having feelings. And he acts out. And, of course, he acts out in a brutal fashion. Prior to that, we have Der Golem. If you know Der Golem, Paul Wegener directed, produced, and portrayed Der Golem. One of the first horror films, you know, from the 1910 or something like that, and just fantastic and cultural and historical. But again, Der Golem being an earth elemental that had feelings, and even a little bit of a comedy there where he's their servant for a certain amount of time, and that becomes comical. But of course, it gets out of hand. It goes wrong. It's righteous vengeance, again, gone horribly awry. And that's but, you know, with Jason, it's more obviously of an American icon.
Yeah, it's kind of funny about what you said about Jason and territory being, you know, Crystal Lake. When you take him out of his element, he still is Jason. As far
in Manhattan,
right? Manhattan, you know, I always thought, how come he didn't kill everybody in the city? You know why? He was really after those two that were in his lake. And he was on the boat, and they were in
The only person he killed was a person that confronted him, so...
Yeah, he killed the guy that took his job later on.
His head off.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about he threw Ken Kinzinger in the diner, and she's like, welcome to New York, and he comes busting through, and everybody's just like... Jason's walking through all pissed off, kicking the jukebox.
For instance, in part two, I often thought there was a little moment lost there. Because they could have recognized that he would recognize that Alice was the killer of the mom. I mean, a demise, pretty nasty, screwdriver to the head, but seems like he would have been more emotive, more brutal in that moment. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't fully cognizant.
Yeah. But,
Never asked the director about that.
No. But I thought it was good. But yeah, Jason, even in space, okay, well, I don't know. They brought me here, now I'm here.
Yeah, they took him out of his element.
And Elm Street, that was perfect. What they did was, like, Freddie messing with him. Like, go to Elm Street for me, you know. Oh, mother wants you to go there. Okay, I'll go there. Kills people, figures out it was Freddie, and goes, oh, now everybody dies. And then it's like, put him back in Crystal Lake. Even if he beats Freddie, he'll stay there because that's his home. And, you know, that's as simple as that. But anyway, Ari Lehman, First Jason, amazing. Got to check out the music. Where can you get the music?
You can get it at CD Baby. Just search for First Jason. Also, if you've got a phone, if you've got a computer, it's on your phone on Spotify. Just go to Spotify, and you got both of our albums there, First Jason. Of course, firstjason.com as well.
And you can always listen to that on Underground Horror Radio as well, because we will play it, and on Podunk, because I've done it before. It's First Jason. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. Thank you, everybody. Of course, Raven Homicide, Homicidal Geek Show.
I just want to say, Ari, thank you for the amazing 36th birthday concert last night. I had a huge blast finally seeing you live. It was definitely a pleasure, brother. Thank you very much.
And that's a mystical number, too, 36.
Yeah. All right, peeps, keep it homicidal.
And Mick Fash's Underground Horror Radio on podunkradio.com out.